And welcome back inside the cave. Ian Wendt, John Roberts with you here on a Wednesday. Most of the Wednesdays we're together.
Yeah.
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 A crowded studio this morning. We have a student observer from Sand Creek High School with us this morning, Gavin. Maybe interested in a career in this business. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Boy, and he's starting off with us.
I know.
Yeah.
Can only get better from here.
He's also starting with the proper gear.
I knew you and I would appreciate that. Yes. Our guest in studio, Mark Comstock. If that name sounds familiar, many of you know him as a longtime basketball coach in the area. Also coached at CMU for a brief stint as an assistant. And me being a CMU alumni, we can both appreciate Gavin's hoodie that he has on this morning. He's getting ready for the big game Friday night against the Spartans. You're surrounded by Chippewas right now.
No, this is weird. Yeah. I never thought I'd be in this spot.
Yeah. There you go.
It's okay. I'm a Bulldog. I'll fight.
There you go.
Yeah, I got my Adrian Collins stuff on.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. Mark.
So, yeah, John, why is Mark here?
Mark is here because in between coaching stints at one point, he was employed by the NCAA. And we'll have him talk about exactly what he did here in just a second. But he is one of our loyal listeners. I won't say he doesn't listen every day, but he listens a lot. And you and I were discussing the Michigan and Jim Harbaugh situation last week, and he texted in and said, I'd like to talk about the NCAA, and you know they're getting beat up quite a bit over this. And they are. They are.
And rightfully so.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
Yeah, you thought it.
I did not say that. Don't put words in my mouth.
Man, Ian's making some good points.
He did not. I can pull up the text. He never said that.
Okay,
and he never does say that. So, but he wanted to come in, and I don't want to say defend the NCAA, but maybe explain the NCAA and possibly defend it. So, welcome in, Mark.
Well, thank you. I'd much rather talk about the CMU basketball days than the NCAA, but I get a little defensive about some of the attacks on the NCAA, and especially when it gets to some of the things that have gone on recently with investigations and things that have gone on, and people don't understand the process. And I'm not here to talk about Michigan other than the process of where they're at now and how it got there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people really understand that at all.
Sure.
And the first thing that you have to understand is at some point, somebody had to blow the whistle. Somebody
right.
had to be responsible for turning Michigan in, or any school in, to the NCAA. And their information has to be relatively credible before the NCAA will even investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And I, because I kind of have an interest, I have a source that has told me who they think that is, and it's probably accurate. I'm not gonna divulge who that is, and I don't know that person's name. I know where it probably came from, but that's the first thing that has to start. Is somebody has to turn
right. There has to be a complaint filed,
or anybody. I mean, we're using Michigan as an example, but anybody, and there has to be credible information. And then once that starts, if there's a reason for the NCAA to start investigating, they begin an investigation. And as an investigator, you got to get there immediately. When I was an enforcement rep, the minute there was an investigation, we were in a plane there, because you can imagine what's going to happen is if people get to the people that you're going to interview, they're going to have tainted information.
Like a trial, you could taint the witness.
Absolutely.
Sure.
So
okay.
you got to get there and get the information. But once this all happens, now the other thing you have to understand is everybody that's interviewed is taped. Everybody that's interviewed.
Okay.
This is all on tape.
Yeah.
Everything that Jim
Everything's
Harbaugh
recorded.
Has said, everything that the people that
Are you
were investigated
this?
Is said.
No, I'm recording
is recorded.
It. Okay.
In Michigan, or the NCAA has all those tapes. And when they come back, I would go out and investigate. I'd come back with 10, 12 tapes, I'd have to do an interview summary and turn that in. And then it would either lead down the road to further investigations or it may end there. But let's assume that that's all happened, which it has.
Okay.
My understanding, at least at Michigan, there was a couple, and nobody knows the facts. Ian doesn't know the facts. You don't know the facts. I don't
Correct.
Know the facts.
None
nobody
of us do.
But,
facts.
But why?
Because the
why don't we get to know?
The NCAA does not talk. That's
Is that just their policy?
Yes, they don't talk. They don't
would it,
talk.
Would it benefit and, them too in some ways?
That's a good question. Okay. I would still defend that they're going to do their investigation. They're going to get their information, and then it will eventually come out whether they're going to pursue anything or not. In Michigan, once they're notified of an allegation, they're asked not to talk or disclose about the information. So let's just assume that everybody that was involved has been interviewed. It takes a long time to process that. One interview might lead down a road to another interview. And at some point, the NCAA is going to inform the institution of a notice of allegations. There's some dispute whether that's been done or not already.
Right.
If Michigan has received their notice of allegations to the institution, to the individuals involved, to the people that broke the rules and the facts of the case. Now, I don't know if that's been done or not. It's been disputed whether they've received that or not. I don't think they have, but that's just my opinion. And then once they receive that notice of allegations, the institution can agree to exactly what the NCAA, the facts of what they have found, what they're going to do in terms of a penalty. And if that happens, then Michigan, in this case, they can have a summary disposition, and it ends.
Mm-hmm.
It ends. Or they can agree that they are going to, well, once they receive the notification, they have 90 days to respond in writing.
Okay.
In writing. And if they do that in 90 days, assuming that they did not agree with the initial things, then it can go to the Committee on Infractions.
Okay.
And when it goes to the Committee on Infractions, they're gonna plead their case, and the NCAA is going to plead their case, and it's going to go from there.
And the committee is the one that makes the ultimate decision on any penalties or no penalties.
Yeah, and okay. Michigan would have a chance at that point to defend themselves.
Okay, so that's where it kind of becomes like a courtroom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it very seldom gets to that point.
Oh,
very
okay.
seldom does it get to the Committee on Infractions. If you go back in time when Alabama had their issues, this has been probably 25 years ago, they went to the Committee on Infractions and tried to defend themselves. And
so, joined in studio today by Mark Comstock, former NCAA enforcement rep, but also a longtime local basketball coach at the high school and collegiate level. So, what Michigan, the steps Michigan has taken? You know, you and I talked before about a 4-game suspension being negotiated.
Well, the NCAA really doesn't negotiate.
Mm-hmm,
they really don't kind of go back and forth. They can say, hey, this is what we're going to do, but the NCAA is going to inform them in the notice of allegations as to what the penalty is
sure.
going to be.
Well, the verbiage that came out of that was, it's been negotiated a 4-game suspension.
And I think that was verbiage from Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So was that a preemptive move, do you think, on their part?
Well, I think so. I think they did that. And they're currently self-imposing right now, which I think has to be understood, and people don't, that's not the NCAA's doing.
Right.
The self-imposed is to kind of get ahead of the game.
Right. Oftentimes that's done to either lessen any future punishment or that the NCAA may say, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
We're satisfied with what you self-imposed, so we're not going to do anything further.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I would like to try and clear up is number one, the issue of the penalties is not there was level two violations, mm-hmm. supposedly. The level two violations had to do with committed recruits, if I understand correctly, on campus during a period of time when they couldn't have kids on campus during COVID.
During COVID, yeah.
There was also an issue with a what they call a basketball analyst coaching when they can't coach.
Okay.
They can only be, I think they can be in meeting rooms, they can be on the sidelines, they can be involved in strategy and that kind of stuff. But they can't actually be one of the however many active coaches
right.
they have.
Right.
And the penalties, the level two penalties, only will be attributed to when they say a slap on the hand. They might take a guy off the road. They may cut down some visits. They may take away a scholarship if they're severe enough. This has nothing. Michigan's penalties have nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that.
Right.
If the level one violation is directly at the head coach.
And just to be clear, level one more severe than level two?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Level one is
right.
a serious breach of conduct. And let me tell you, if I came to interview Ian at Adrian College, and let's say he's a player,
mm-hmm.
the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have my recorder. I'm going to make sure it's clear that I'm going to record everything
sure.
that you say and everything that every question that's going to be there. And then I'm going to explain to the student athlete, in his case, is that bylaw 19 requires you to be forthcoming, ethical, truthful, and not mislead, or you're going to jeopardize your eligibility. Do you understand that?
Right, yeah.
And most kids, the student athletes are not required to know the NCAA laws.
Correct.
They can't get penalized.
Right.
I mean, unless they don't...
They're not forthcoming. Right.
If I go to the coach, same thing. First of all, everybody's contract is going to require them to be
familiar.
NCAA rules.
Right,
or
and somewhat familiar yeah. with them.
So the whole issue with the level one violation, which is a serious breach of conduct with the head coach, is that he... And I'm going to look at my notes here a little bit because I
sure.
want to make sure that he either wasn't forthcoming,
mm-hmm.
obstructed the investigation in some way, there was a failure to cooperate, or there was some unethical conduct, or in some way there was a deliberate violation of the rules, and they knew the rule and deliberately broke it anyways. Or they've maybe failed to produce evidence. Now, the other thing the NCAA can't do is they don't have subpoena power. So when you say, okay, well, you know, why does it take so long for an investigation to take place? If I want Ian's phone records or his checkbook records, he doesn't have to provide that to me.
Okay.
That's not ethical conduct. If you did anything wrong, you'd probably say, here it is.
Right.
But you're not breaking the law. You're
right.
breaking NCAA bylaws.
Right.
So you can say, no, well, NCAA doesn't look fondly on that because they want your records. They want, if you say you didn't pay for this or that you paid for it, then just give us proof. So to have a level one violation is a serious offense in the eyes of the NCAA.
Sure.
And you would like to think it wouldn't go there because the violations are minor violations. Now, if there's more to it...
Right. We don't know all the facts. Right.
And I don't know all the facts.
Sure.
I just know that a level one violation is a serious,
sure.
serious violation, and it didn't need to... in my opinion, need to go there.
Sure, sure. So just kind of to wrap this up, Mark, any thoughts on where you see this possibly heading?
Anything further
yeah.
in addition to self-imposed? Like, does the NCAA back off and they say, all right, you're good, or it depends?
Well, I think, again, this is, I don't know the facts. I think when they receive the notice of allocations, I think it's going to be more serious than what Michigan is self-imposed.
Hmm.
That's my opinion.
Sure.
I think it's going to be I think they're taking steps now to
control, soften the blow.
I think that because they it hasn't all washed out, that they either haven't received their notice of allegations or they're waiting to receive it, and I think they'll let it go. I think they'll let it go to the Committee on Infractions.
Hmm.
I don't.
But this will occur sometime after the season, probably.
Yeah, because they can easily buy 90 days or more.
Sure.
To respond, and I don't think, if I was in their shoes, I wouldn't want to do anything to distract what's already going on.
Sure.
And that, they don't want to do anything that's going to, damage their chances of winning a championship or
sure.
maybe a national sure. championship because
sure.
they certainly
yeah.
have that kind of
They're
a team.
They're being talked as one of the potential contenders, serious
Absolutely.
Contenders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Real quick, we gotta go here in a second.
Yeah.
NCAA itself in the future, I think this Michigan thing has really put them in the forefront. Good or bad, but there's a lot of talk of, the conferences are so big. The NCAA is going away. They're a joke. They're weak. I guess defend them.
They do. And I'm just going to say this. They get bashed all the time. They get bashed by Feinbaum. They get bashed by Jay Billis.
A lot of talking heads.
Klatt. Is it Klatt that does the
Joel Klatt, yep.
But these guys... These guys
Jim
are making
it, recently.
I don't get that because they're doing NCAA games. That's
right.
where they're making a living.
They make
off
their
the
money.
NCAA
right.
games,
right?
And they're bad mouthing the NCAA. Well, there's a process. Let me tell you two things about the NCAA. It's a committee driven
organization.
If you want rules changed, which they change all the time,
sure,
it has to go through a committee, and the institutions all. The leagues ask that they want to change the recruiting calendars or
sure.
something. They vote on it. The other thing that people don't understand, Ian, and I'd ask you this question, is it a profit or a nonprofit organization?
Nonprofit.
It's nonprofit. I never heard anybody complain about the check that they receive every year from the NCAA, which is millions and millions of dollars. Do you ever hear them complain about that? No.
No.
Do you know why schools like, I'll use Hillsdale as an example, went to the NCAA instead of the NAI? Because they want the check from the NCAA
sure.
tournament. Have you everybody criticized about the NCAA basketball tournament? No.
No.
Because it's a moneymaker, and it's one of the greatest events in sports.
Yes.
And remember that they also have to pay. They provide a rowing championship in Seattle. Do you know how all the teams get there? The NCAA pays for them to get there. Okay. They have tremendous, tremendous expenses, and I don't hear anybody complain about the NCAA championships. You watch the baseball tournament in Omaha?
Sure, College World Series.
Yeah. Pretty impressive.
To make it local, Adrian College, Frozen Four last couple of years, NCAA all over the place.
Sure,
yeah.
sure,
you know,
sure.
I've seen a different side of NCAA yeah. than you have and, yeah. and other people have. But.
And just one more thing. That I hope not in my lifetime, but, the NCAA might go away. Okay, so who's going to take over?
Right.
Who's going to run it? Well, the most criticized people in sports are the commissioners of their league, because somebody has to enforce some kind of rules.
Right.
So if the NCAA, they got out of the business with the NIL a little bit, and now look what's happened.
Right.
I mean, look what's happened with
it. And so maybe to summarize what you're saying, what we're seeing is there's a need for that because if they go away – who's running things? Yeah. Who's going to make those leadership decisions?
And you're not very popular when you do.
No,
And in most eyes, if it affects you the wrong way, you disagree.
Sure, sure.
So,
it's human nature.
Yeah. I hope I don't see that, but I hope I've at least shed some light on the
process.
Oh, my
gosh, this was fascinating.
Because, yeah.
Thank you.
And again, I don't know the facts. I don't.
And as this plays out, would you be willing to come on maybe again and shed some more light on what's happening in the process or
yeah,
comment
absolutely.
On what
absolutely.
Happens?
Well,
okay, great.
I just read the other day. I went back. I was LSU went through a,
mm-hmm.
a severe deal. And you can go online and you can read the
okay.
notice of allegations.
Oh, okay.
And it was pretty interesting. It
sure.
is such detailed. But
sure.
I think the important thing is to understand that Everybody that's interviewed, it's recorded.
Okay.
So if somebody says something and it's recorded,
it's on the record.
It's on the record.
Right.
And now, you know, the next person, and that's what you do. You go around and interview and corroborate the story.
Okay. Awesome. Well, this was great. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely.